You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Leslie Roberts is here with me now. Okay, PJ, you have permission to play it now. You can antagonize me. You have permission this time. Uh-oh. Don't surprise me. Our Prime Minister, well, maybe we should call him the chief hypocrite in the Canadian government. Justin, do as I say, not as I do, Trudeau.
We need to know that there are strong rules in place to ensure that they behave properly, and we always expect the very best of all of them in our party and in all parties, and we will continue to hold that high standard.
What's he talking about?
With a straight face, he talks about a Toronto MP who hired her sister to work in her constituency office. Every MP knows you can't do that. It seems like her sister used a different name to try to hide it, so there was intent there.
Bad
but
optics.
But the Prime Minister is asked about this and can speak with a straight face about how we're going to look into it and this can't happen. And seriously, you are responsible for this. You're the leader. You have shown that when it comes to family making money, it shouldn't come from the taxpayers. It should come from a charity. It's easier to hide it that way. Maybe you made up that rule on a private helicopter trip to somebody's private island who gets money from the government. I don't know. But come on, Leslie. Is it not a little rich for the Prime Minister? He should have been he should have turned red with embarrassment and skulked away from that question. But he stood there like he's on the moral high ground. Unbelievable. Really, the nerve.
The only difference, and I'm about facts, is that, in fact, it was on the taxpayer's dime in the constituent's office as opposed to the wee charity.
which got taxpayers' money.
Taxpayers'
money is involved there.
But I don't think that there is an MP who actually hired the... It wasn't Justin Trudeau who hired his brother.
Splitting hairs.
Yeah, well, I'm splitting hairs because it's important. It's called facts, Bill. Different. It's a different budget here. You're right. They're both taxpayers' dollars. They receive them.
Well,
but Justin did not hire. Justin did not
hire
his brother or his mother. This woman hired his sister. There's a difference there.
They're both unethical, though.
Absolutely. Potentially.
And taxpayers' money is going, in both cases, to the wrong places.
Well, the ethics is, again, splitting hairs here, because do we know for a fact that someone had a say that Margaret Trudeau is going to be hired by we and Sasha as well, and even his wife? I mean...
Yeah, we have pretty strong indications of that, but of course we won't know because the Prime Minister prorogued Parliament so we couldn't find out and shut down the committees.
Yeah.
So he wants a full investigation into this MP.
Yeah.
But when it comes to him, there's a totally different set of standards. You can't get away from that. And the media, I can't find anyone following up with, well, Mr. Prime Minister, have you not set an example? You're the only Prime Minister
but
in
it's
history
not the same. He didn't
to be
hire
in violation of the ethics laws,
but
not just once, several times.
It's a true statement, but that doesn't mean he hired his brother or his mother or his wife to work
for him
in the office.
No, but he has no moral high ground to lecture one of his MPs about it, and he has to take responsibility for it.
I won't argue with that. It's strictly, I'm just telling you the facts. They're a little different in the two cases. However, the theme is
but
the
you
same.
Haven't corrected my facts. You said one is about taxpayers' dollars, the
no,
other
one
is,
was saying,
both are.
One was saying the fact that he did not hire his brother, his mother, or sister to work directly for him. That's what
the MP
did.
Well, that's like arguing that you robbed from a grocery store and I robbed from a liquor store and somehow they're different. They're not different.
I disagree.
That's why we let this guy off the hook. We find ways to make it
I'm not letting him off the hook. I'm just
where's the story then about his hypocrisy this morning? Like,
that's
that is
a good
just
question.
Gone away. He gets to control the
Here's
dialogue.
Part of the problem,
he prorogued
Bill.
Parliament,
yeah.
And we just forgive him now. Nobody follows up.
No, nobody's forgiving.
But Mr. Prime Minister, don't you have some nerve lecturing people about ethics violations? Haven't you set the example in your own party?
Ultimately, it'll be up to the voters to decide. If you look at the polls, he's still leading with a potential majority. Maybe that's the court of public opinion right there.
Well, the people who voted Liberal in her riding didn't get to choose. She's gone from the party now.
Again, you're comparing apples and sour apples here. They're not the same. And so should she step down? Is that the question you're asking? Maybe she should.
No, the Prime Minister didn't resign from his party over his ethics violations, but she's expected to.
Well, I think
and I would argue his
case,
are much worse than hers.
Well, the ethics commissioner, whose job it is to determine that, said it wasn't necessarily necessary to
the ethics commissioner found him in violation of ethics not once
but
several times.
But he does not have to step down because of it. In this particular case, as the leader of the party, maybe he should ask her to step down. Absolutely. But again,
maybe the leader of the party should hold himself to an even higher standard than his MPs.
But
you can't argue that he's set the example.
Yeah. How do you explain that even though he got those decisions, that the people reelected him? That's what it comes down to here, Bill. And the polls show he's going to win again if an election were held today.
Well, and this is part of the reason. because we let him just walk away from these things. It's just fine. Yeah. We're good. No one follows up yesterday with a, seriously, isn't this partly on you?
Mm.
Don't you have some responsibility to lead
Absolutely.
The way when it comes to ethical violations?
So why didn't anyone ask that question? There's a whole press pool there, Bill.
Yeah, well, maybe someone did. I certainly can't find it.
Yeah, I
searched
either.
For it specifically this morning. No one seems to be reporting
I agree.
On it.
It's a valid question. It should have been asked, and it would have been interesting to hear his answer.
So what else are you doing on the show?
Hey, we've got the Silver Cross mom. No one, Bill, as you know, should ever have to bury their child, but there were a lot of Canadian moms who lost their sons and daughters in war, and this year's Silver Cross mom, who's here in Ottawa, coming in from the Maritimes, you're going to hear what she has to say. That's coming up in a few minutes. What happened to the flu shot? What happened to the flu shot thing? We were told, don't worry, from Christine Elliott, hey, we got enough flu shots for everyone, including the high dose. We went back and found the clip. Including the high dose flu shots for seniors. Well, we ran out. Apparently, we don't have any left in the stock in the province. Some pharmacies may still have a few more. I'm wondering, how did they get this wrong? They ordered 16% more. We knew that this, we were telling everybody to get a flu shot. Where did somebody, and this is scary as we go into the COVID-19 vaccine logistics. Let's hope this is a lesson so we don't get that one wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. You know, they're urging everyone to get the flu shot this year, and they only increased the dosage by a small percentage.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't really expect that people would take them up on the offer to get them. But people are scared, and the last thing they want is to worry about the flu at the same time as they have to wonder about COVID-19. By the way, a couple of different listeners have just reminded me, the ethics commissioner has not ruled on the Wee scandal yet.
That's true.
Bill Morneau.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Hey, let's talk about, if we can, the word of the year. It's related to the pandemic, so it's really no surprise. Lockdown. Ooh. Lockdown, I know. Collins Dictionary Word of the Year. The team at the dictionary found that lockdown was used over 250,000 times so far this year, compared to just 4,000 in 2019. That's a big difference.
Sure is. I hope that when all of this is over, I never have to hear the phrase social distancing again either.
Remember when we used to start, was it physical distancing? We had to flip, go from one to the other because we don't want to socially distance. We want to physically
distance. And then we switched back. We went social, then physical, then back to social.
Because we dropped our guard, maybe? Maybe the message was, you know, we're supposed to stay within your bubble.
Hey, wasn't as catchy a phrase, I guess.
Yeah. Fortnite. Not often do I salute video games, but they've got a special thing today at 11 o'clock in Remembrance Day, asking all kids who play video games to go, hey, PJ, do you know what this is? PJ's our video guy. They've got a special game within Fortnite that is Remembrance Day themed.
Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Fortnite because it is for kids, but I know they are doing something for them at 11 o'clock. So Fortnite's like an online multiplayer game.
Okay.
And at 11 o'clock, I think they're taking everybody out from the game and doing like a tribute of some sort. It might just be a little message, but they're not letting people play at 11 o'clock.
Right. Well, my son won't see it. You know why? And he loves Fortnite. Because we're dragging him out of the house. We're going to go for a walk down the street. The local social media group says that we have on our street a piper who's going to step outside at 11 o'clock, 11:01, and play the bagpipes. It's interesting, you know, I keep saying the problem with this, here's that word, Leslie, lockdowns, is that we've reached the stage now where people, we used to tell them you can't go out, they just stay home. Now you say you can't go to the cenotaph for Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
If my community is like any other, they're already making their own plans. People are going to get together now on our street to see the piper. But you know what? I'm sure we'll wear our masks and we'll, there's that phrase again, socially distance while we're there. But that's where we are now in this pandemic. Trying to stop people from doing something in a formal way might actually make them do it more informally. And then there's no one around to make sure we follow best practices.
It's a great idea. That shout out to the Scottish Society of Ottawa. They're asking anyone who's got pipes to do this today at 11 o'clock to go out there, wait the moment of silence, and then play Amazing Grace. You know, that's the one they're suggesting you play. But anything, you know, that is related to this would work. And I'm glad you're doing it. Can you do me a favor? Because they're asking to put it on social media. Would you tape it and put it up on your social media channels?
Am I going to be the guy, though, not standing quietly, but taping instead? Do I want to be that guy?
They're asking it so that you do it so we can share it. So,
oh, they are?
Yeah, maybe ask your son. It's your son to do it.
No, I'll do it. I will feel a bit awkward.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just think that it'll do more good, big picture.
Sort of feels different when you're out and you've got a CFRA microphone or a CTV camera with you and people know you're doing
your
job.
Oh, I've done that many times,
But I just don't want to look like that guy who's got a videotape everywhere.
Yeah, well, good enough. It's
I'll
possible.
Tell them Leslie Roberts made me do it.
Yeah, or just say Justin Trudeau's friend, apparently.
That seems like a good time to end this conversation.
I know, I went there. Okay, Bill, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate it. Hey, let's start before we get into the Silver Cross mom and what a story she has to tell. On behalf of all moms, be available locally at some of the pharmacies. Here's what you need to know. Justin Bates, my interview, CEO of the Pharmacists Association from earlier.
All right, so what happened? Did somebody drop the ball here? Why did we run out of the high dose?
Well, we've run out of the high dose largely because of the demand outpacing the supply. And with all the planning that went into this flu season back in January, February, when government looked at both the trends in the Southern Hemisphere and previous order histories, and then thinking about where we would be, where we are today in terms of demand, they put a 16% increase in their orders. And clearly that has outpaced where the demand is. So I think this is a good problem to have in terms of people's awareness of the importance of getting the flu shot. But I think even more important is how do we learn from these lessons and not repeat some of the mistakes for the COVID vaccine? And is this an anomaly? Will we see a new normal in future years?
Well said. That being said, can we not order more?
Well, unfortunately, there's only so much vaccine available globally, and particularly in Canada. So what happens is manufacturers, it's a different formulation every year. So they actually start manufacturing based on orders that they receive in the spring and the summer, because they have to look at the strains from the Southern Hemisphere. And they only make so much, and it's very difficult to ramp up production. So there are supplies available in the federal government, and I know that Ontario Public Health has worked diligently to procure extra doses for the Ontario market, and some of those have been distributed.
All right, what's the advice to seniors, though, if they can't get one?
Well, there still is high-dose flu vaccine available, so I think the best advice is to call ahead, check with your primary care physician, public health units that are running certainly flu clinics, and also your pharmacy. And we don't know how much is out in the pharmacies, but we know there still is some, and we've received shipments of the regular dose as early as last week.
So to be clear, it's all been distributed, but there's still some available in pharmacies and doctor's office, hence the call ahead advice.
That's correct.
And if there isn't, if they can't get one, should they have the regular one?
That's right. We would recommend that everyone gets a flu shot. If you're over 65 or at a high risk population, it's still better to get the regular dose, which covers four strains of the flu, than not get it at all.
All right. Good advice there. Justin Bates joining us live, CEO of the Ontario Pharmacists Association. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Better you get the low dose than no dose at all is the takeaway. All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to meet this year's Silver Cross mom as she remembers her son who gave his life for our country, as well an announcement from Lisa McLeod and the premier today that happened first on CTV Morning Live about an Afghan war memorial. That and more on the other side. News Talk 580 CFRA.
And carry me home down the highway of heroes, people above with the flags flying low.
This is Ottawa at Work with Leslie Roberts on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Well, this Remembrance Day, as we remember and honor our veterans who served this country, the Legion has announced this year's National Silver Cross Mother as Deborah Sullivan from Somerville, New Brunswick. Sullivan's son was Lieutenant Christopher Edward Saunders, a naval officer in the Royal Canadian Navy, trained as a combat systems engineer. He was killed in a tragic fire on a submarine while traveling from Scotland to Canada back in 2004. Now, as this National Silver Cross Mother, Sullivan will place a wreath at the National War Memorial here in the Capitol on behalf of widows and mothers who lost a son or a daughter in the course of duty. It is our honor to welcome, to share her story and the importance of Remembrance Day and her son, Deborah Sullivan. Good morning. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
No parent should have to bury a child. First of all, our condolences.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Tell us about Christopher as a boy.
Christopher as a boy was a very organized little boy. He had the penchant for order. He liked everything to have a place and everything in its place, so he was very well organized. He loved kids. He loved playing with his friends. My home had an open door policy where the kids could come at any time, and they played a lot together. Through school, he always seemed to gravitate towards the shy and quiet ones and befriend them and kind of look out for them. And he kept that kind of attitude right through into adulthood.
Let me ask you, why did he decide to join the Canadian Navy?
He joined the Army Reserves, is what he started out with, because he was looking for an adventure, and because he thought it would be really good for him, because he is a man of order, so he knew there would be a lot of order in an organization like the Reserves. So he joined the Reserves. Yeah, and he won a scholarship through the Reserves to go to military college and wanted to become a combat systems engineer, and he couldn't get the courses through Army, so he switched to Navy.
Clearly you're very proud of your son, Christopher.
I am very proud of him, yes. Yes.
What does it mean to be the Silver Cross mother?
Well, it means that I get to represent all mothers and all their families who have lost their loved ones through service to our country. And it is an honor for me.
As you lay the wreath this morning, what will you be thinking about, do you think?
Well, I know I'll be thinking of my son, and I'll be thinking of all those that we've lost, past, present, and hopefully not future. But I'll be thinking of all our veterans, and my prayers will be with them and their families.
Share, if you can, your thoughts on how we as a nation can continue to support veterans' families on Remembrance Day and all year round.
Well, all year round is what I'm aiming for. I certainly have been working for years and years in my local community to keep our veterans first and foremost in everyone's lives. So I just had to do a short video for a school that was named after my son. And I wouldn't be there for their ceremony, so I did a short video. And the last paragraph, I basically said to listen to all the stories. Keep all those stories in your memory and carry them throughout your lives so that we never forget them.
It's an important message. How did you find out about the school being named after your son?
I was contacted by the head of the school board, Ms. Zoe Watson.
And how did you feel when you got that call?
I was very surprised, especially when I found out that I knew they were building a school, and they had put a vote out to the community to name the school. And I found out that Christopher's name was brought forward almost four times more than any other name. So that's how he got the school named after him. It was by community choice.
Ms. Sullivan, if I can ask you, without prying into what it's like to have a conversation with another parent who has lost a child while fighting for their country, what are those conversations like?
Those conversations are very emotional, very emotional. And I've already had a couple, and we just support each other. Yeah.
Well, we're thinking of you. We're thinking of your son. We're thinking of all the sons and daughters who did so much. And it's so important that we keep this alive and in terms of the memories and the Remembrance Day. We've seen through our lifetime, you know, we've seen that the poppy, of course, is such an important, significant reminder. Do you worry about the future, that maybe the next generations won't, as more and more of the veterans are no longer around?
Well, I do worry about the future, and I guess that's why I do my small part to keep it first and foremost in our young generation's minds. And I think that the Legion themselves do an awesome job in promoting our veterans throughout the year.
When the kids ask you about Christopher, what is that conversation like? Mm-hmm. What's that conversation like?
Well, when the school first opened, the kids, they wanted to know how he died. That was their first question. They wanted to know how he died. And we had an assembly at the school to address those questions. And I myself couldn't do it. So we had my son's best friend, Dean Mercer. He explained it to the kids, and he explained it in a language that they could understand. And I'm glad it was him because I wouldn't have been able to get through it.
No doubt. Well, today we honor Lieutenant Christopher Edward Saunders and, of course, all the veterans who did so much for us to allow the life that we have today. And we also salute you, National Silver Cross Mother Deborah Sullivan. Thank you. It is a real honor to talk to you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the conversation.
The honor is ours.
You know, when she said she appreciated the conversation, I mean, I just gulped. It was one, I'm not going to lie, one of the hardest interviews I've done in many years, speaking to a Silver Cross mom who is out there representing all the moms who lost sons and daughters while making Canada a great country. We've talked over the years, of course, of the soldiers and those that are underrepresented at the contributions of the various communities. We, of course, have talked about Indigenous soldiers and, you know, the Black troops as well, also, you know, their stories being told. But one underreported group of soldiers are Jewish Canadians. 17,000 Jewish Canadians served in World War II. Imagine that, fighting the Nazis. It is the focus of a book called Double Threat, Canadian Jews, the Military, and World War II. Longtime journalist and author Ellen Besner is joining me now. Good morning, Ellen. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again, too, Leslie. Thank you.
I know you've done hundreds of interviews, extensive research. How did this all begin?
It began with a trip to Normandy with my family in 2011. And we were walking through the graveyard at Beni-sur-Mer. I'm sure some of your listeners have been there. It's haunting. Maybe you've seen it, too. And you look at all the tombstones of all the young boys, and being of Jewish faith, I always check for the ones with the Stars of David, because we have a special ritual, right, that you have to say a prayer, yeah, a special Kaddish, and you put a pebble or a stone, yeah, on it to tell them that you had visited. And the one grave that leapt out at me after 70 years, it still makes me gives me goosebumps today, was from a bombardier 25-year-old man from Toronto named George Meltz. Because on the tombstone under the Star of David was an epitaph that said, "He died, so Jewry shall suffer no more." And from there, I needed to know who this man was, how he got this tomb epitaph, because it symbolized the very essence of why Jewish boys went over and fought and died, 450 of them from Canada. You know, to, not only were they fighting, right, for king and country, Leslie, mm-hmm, as everyone else in the 1.1 million Canadians who served in World War II, but for the Jews, it was a double mission, a, yeah, double threat. Their people, their race was being exterminated. So they had family members they wanted to save.
Yeah. Not to mention, of course, that those who did not make it back, sadly, they were left in many Canadian soldier cemeteries over there. But there was something missing as well there.
Well, I mean, some of the graves had crosses put on them by, yeah, mistake. And I've done a couple of stories in the last day or so that we did fix one just now.
Yeah.
We fixed one that was a 75-year-old mistake. But there was no computers in those days. We didn't have internet. Nobody knew. The families didn't even want to respond to what, because they were so traumatized, as the Silver Cross mothers obviously know. Some of them refused to even believe that it was going that their son had died, and they kept waiting for years till they would walk in the door again somehow. So the Commonwealth War Graves Commission did the best they could.
Yeah, and the stories, I mean, in the countless interviews that you did, similarities, I'm sure, as in regardless of one's faith, just the fact that they went to war and then lost their children, in some cases, their family members.
Mm-hmm. And husbands, brothers, aunts, uncles.
Yeah.
I had 9 people in my family serve. One was killed in World War II. He was going to be an accountant. He was from Timmins, Jack Brovender. There are people from Ottawa. There were over nearly 500 Jewish people in Ottawa who served, including Eddie Saslov, never came home, and he should have won a Victoria Cross. And the Mazur family, the rabbi's family, sent 7 boys overseas into uniform. Alex Pollowin, who's still alive, was in the Navy. My aunt Daisy Lazar. There was even somebody with your name, Mark Leslie Abramson, that was killed, and he's buried in Denmark. So many people served out of a small community, 3,800 Jews in Ottawa. That was all there was in those days. And nearly 500 of them went over to,
wow,
to stop Hitler.
Was it tough to get this book published?
Well, this was before COVID. I was very lucky. No, yeah. But I was very actually honored because the man who agreed to take me on, first-time publisher, Malcolm Lester, was a very experienced publisher. He published the book None Is Too Many, and I was honored that he said, you better write the story. Yeah. And so the University of Toronto Press is now the publisher of it. He started it, and they finished it. So it wasn't that hard. No, but... it was hard for me because I'm a journalist. I'm used to doing one story a day, not a story that comes and lasts for 10 years.
The name of the book is Double Threat, Canadian Jews, the Military, and World War II. It's now available. The author, Ellen Besner. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it, Ellen.
Thank you so, so much.
There are so many stories, countless stories to tell, of course, of Canadian soldiers who went over there and some lying about their age to be able to sign up and, I guess, do the right thing and join their buddies. Unlike most years where we have 30,000 gathering at the Cenotaph just up the street here, the National War Memorial, this year just 100 people have been invited in the times of COVID. That being said, countless people turning on their radios and television to pause now, and we're going to give you special coverage courtesy of our friends at CTV of Remembrance Day Ceremonies 2020 from the National War Memorial. The coverage led by Chief Anchor and Chief Senior Editor for CTV News, Lisa LaFlamme. It is coming up to 10:30 on News Talk 580 CFRA.